remain in this atmosphere of worship this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your sweet, sweet spirit in this place this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you've spoken to us, O God. We thank you, Lord, you encouraged us, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you uplift us, O Lord. Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you this morning as we go into your word, O God. We want to hear from you, Lord. And Father, let your word come forth in a mighty way, Lord. Not from a man, but from you. Holy Spirit, move in a mighty way this morning, O Father, as never did before, O Lord. Oh, Father, our hearts and our minds are ready to receive from you, Lord. We ask these things, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who says church is boring? People who don't know church. Because church is not boring. Amen? I'm hearing like a little feedback here, but they're preparing this. They're fixing it up. We have a new soundboard, so we're just working on that. So forgive us if there's some little feedback. They're just going to fix that up this morning. Amen. So welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. It's nice to see you here with us this morning. I know a few were missing for a while. I know Brother Swaby's back. So Brother Swaby, welcome back to Edmonton, the cold Edmonton. So we're just happy that you're with us. And for the visitors for the first time or the second time, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. We're so happy that you're with us here, worshiping the Lord together with us. And I just pray that you are just encouraged and blessed by the presence of the Lord this morning. As we prayed for a sister and during the week, we've seen that Joyce's niece has been hit by a truck. And had been going to. She was in the hospital. She had some two broken legs and some ribs, and she had some bleeding in her head. And so the church has prayed for her last week. We prayed for her on Wednesday. We actually prayed for her on Wednesday, and then during the week when we heard this news, we ended up praying for her and we put it on the bulletin. And I want to share this with you because it just shocked me. It was a great of encouragement for me, and I want to share this with the church. I went to visit her a couple of days ago at the hospital, and they're very grateful that the church has been praying for her and for the Lord to be upon her life. So she thanks the church for our prayers. But I went there to visit this. Her name is in French is Chalet, but she calls it Charlet. So I went there and. I was waiting at the hospital, and it says before doing a visit, you have to have a visiting sticker. So I'm there. It says, oh, man, it's half an hour. This security guard is not here. What is going on? Like, it's taking so much time. So we have a lineup of people, and I think these security guards were going to have a coffee with some donuts. I don't know. They were taking all their time, sweet time, and all visitors wanted to get into the hospital, and we couldn't get in. So all of a sudden, the security guards come out, and he says, oh, you don't need it. You have to go by here. Oh, Lord, help me. I waited here half an hour, and I don't need a sticker. So thank God that I waited. Thank God that God tested my patience. So I went there, and I went to visit this, and I went to see her. Now, all of a sudden, I waited half an hour outside for this ticket. I'm getting there, and I have a crowd of people around this young girl, 53-year-old lady. She's there. A niece of Joyce's niece, and she's there, and I says, oh, man, I can't even go see her. Everybody's around now. I got to wait here. So I'm waiting. Okay, trying to make some noise, walk back and forth to see if anybody can walk out, you know, like, because I want to go in, and I'm walking back and forth, and every time I give an eye contact to the daughter. So I end up going in. They end up leaving. But it was the best thing that I ever did to wait that moment there. I walk in, and there was, like, some tears in her. And her eyes. I says, wow. And she said to me, that boy, 16-year-old boy, and his husband and wife, mother and father, the boy was the one that hit her. And she forgave him for running her over. So he came there to ask for repentance and ask for forgiveness. And she is in her body broken. And she forgives this young boy. And I look at this as, wow, we have a hard time forgiving a critic. And she says, it's just my body. just the reaction is, it's just my body. But just to see the forgiveness of someone, to forgive a child. And I said to her, you actually healed his heart, his mind, because he was going to be scarred for the rest of his life. And it's amazing today. And I've learned something in that place about forgiveness. At times, we have a hard time to do. So I want to say, I thank God for giving me that patience to stay there and to teach me to be there. So Joyce, when you speak to your niece, tell her the church will continue to pray for her. May the Lord's blessing be upon her life and the Lord reward her for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I did speak about a little bit and through the prayer. I know Pastor Tom was here with us last week. And through the prayer I said there's a gentleman that seen the church as a woman that is pregnant and there's going to give birth any minute. Do you remember that when I said that last week? The ones who were here last week, if you weren't here last week, you missed out a wonderful, wonderful time with the presence of the Lord. But I encourage you to do so, to hear the message online. It was a great time of worship, a great time of from God's word. So, and I do see that in the church. I do see there's something happening within us, within New Hope Christian Assembly. But there is something from heaven to down that is blocking it. And I was wondering, what is that's blocking it? What is that's holding us, holding you, Lord, to pour out your spirit as you've done in the day of Acts? How is it that is something is holding back? You know, brother, people that are here for a long time in the Lord, serving the Lord. For example, we have Don here. We have so many. Elmer. We have Jim. We have Ross. There's so many others over here. Fred, do you remember those days? That when everybody was at the altar worshiping and praying, they meant business with God. And when they meant business with God, revival happened. That's why it's not happening in today's society, because we're not caring the way we cared before. We're not praying the way we prayed before. And we wonder why we don't have revival. God has never changed. So there's something from heaven to earth that is stopping the blockage for God to pour out a spirit among the people of God. And I was wondering, and I was praying, and I was meditating this a month ago. I said, Lord, what is this? What is going on? You're the same God. But you know that you and I can stop the blessing of God upon our lives. And there's things that can stop us through the blessing that God wants to pour out His Spirit once again upon people of God. I don't believe God wants to dry you up. I believe God wants to raise you up. I believe God wants to revive you and bring you to another level as you've never been before. Do you believe that with me this morning? And I was talking to a lot of people about this in the last couple of months, and people were asking me these questions. Do you believe revival is going to happen? I surely believe revival is going to happen once again. Remember, revival is not just because of a crowd of people. That's not revival. When you have thousands of people around there, it's not revival. But revival is when you encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you get out of that presence, when you get out of that place where you've been filled by the Spirit of God, you will never be the same again. And every time you walk beside someone, they will feel that electric shock by the power of God that is in your life. What is it, Lord, that is stopping this presence, that is stopping this revival upon the churches of God? What is it? And I asked that question, Lord, and I was pleading God, what is it? And God brought me to 4 points, and I pray that we will all take it at heart this morning. I'm not here to hurt anybody, to offend anybody, but I'm here to preach God's word, and that word was taught to me first. God has preached to myself. God has brought me and says, you have to do these things to see if it's personal revival in your life and a revival in the kingdom of God, a revival in the church of God. You know what's happening? We see lots of churches, but churches are declining with people. We have over 130 churches in Edmonton, Alberta. And churches are, some of them can be packed, but some of them can be empty. I wonder why, what's going on. We have lots of churches and less of people in the churches. It's not what we need more churches. We need our churches to be more with the people of God, to be more with the people who are experiencing the power of God in their lives. So if the church has a need, and you know this church has a need, and you know that you personally have a need, and if you know that you have a need, and heaven has all the answer, why not can we get together and pray and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to come down again? Heaven has all the answers. Heaven has the power. And you wonder why. Why is not revival coming? If we don't pray, revival is not going to come. Simple as that. But there's some blockage that's stopping for a revival upon our lives. Heaven has all the power, and on the earth we got all the churches declining, dying in every way, dying spiritually, dying financially, declining in every single way. Why is that? Why is our churches dying? Why is it never like the day as we were in 1972, 73, 74, 75, and you can go on into 80, 85, when the people of God were at the altars and Sunday night services, if many of you remember, were filled by people seeking the power of God? Why is that not happening today? And one of the things I'll say to later on is because we compromise our sins. And you wonder why God is not pouring out His Spirit. The reason is simple. There's a blockage, a congestion, a blockage. I remember when I worked as a production manager, and again through God's word, I began into a production manager, and I had 400 employees, and my job was to walk on the floor and check how the work was flowing out to get the right amount of quantity of clothing going out. And I remember some days I used to walk, and all of a sudden there was a blockage. I says, man, you're not going to get the outcome. You're not going to get the full amount of production if there's a blockage here. So you had to mind, you had to put your head together, and you had to figure it out what to do to unblock that so the production can flow to get the right quantity, you know. And it's the same thing from you and I. There is something that is blocking us to receive the power of God. There is something in our lives that is blocking us to let God pour out His revival again upon the people of God. And I strongly believe that, and I'll preach with all my heart, because I do believe revival is just around the corner. There's a little bit more things we need to do. And when we address those things, God will pour out. God will open up the heavens and pour out the Spirit of God as He did before. Are we ready for that? Is this church ready for a revival? Is this church ready to see signs and wonders? Is this church ready to see healings? Is this church ready to see people being saved and transformed by the power of God? Is this church ready? I know I'm ready. I am ready to see that. Man, there's some of us here sitting around these chairs and our children are depressed. Our children are discouraged. Our children are away from God. You need to take those things into consideration, and you get to get business with God, and you get strong with God, and you say, God, you got to work as you got to work before, and you got to take it seriously, and you got to go with all your heart and say, God, move in a way that you've done before. If you're serious with God, God will be serious with you. If you're not serious with Him, He knows who's playing with Him. He knows who's going around Him. And just goes to Jesus. Just goes to God only when they're in a hole. So here it is, and even in the church, there's a blockage. Yes, in the church, we do have some blockages. Why do I say that? Because God says it, and the answer is this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people. I just have to stop right there and I can preach it just a letter F. If. If my people who are called by my name. will humble themselves. The number one blockage is pride. Oh, Lord, help us. That pride destroys us. That arrogance destroyed us. And that's a blockage that God is wants to remove in our lives. How can God pour out His Spirit if we're prideful people? He cannot do that. And pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This passage is so powerful, and many people and many pastors and teachers speak about this verse, about revival. But let me give you a little history about this verse. Just as Solomon finished praying, you will see in chapter 7, verse 1, as he's finished praying, fire descended from on heaven and consumed all the burnt sacrifices on fire. It's clear that everyone, that the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. The people at the festival start thanking God, and Solomon offers more sacrifices. Now the priests, the Levites, and the temple musicians all sing God's praises as this temple thing is really coming together. They're putting this all together. And the people gather in the city and they celebrate for 2 weeks before Solomon has finally finished, who has set out to do was build the house of God. And one night, God appears to Solomon for the second time. The Almighty confirms that He will in fact be residing in the temple. Because He is in Jerusalem, people can always feel free to come in that place. And when the people sinned, and God was now forced to show them who is in charge, who is the boss, who is the big guy out there. God sends droughts and plagues and all that kind of stuff. And He lets Solomon know that he'd be waiting for his apology in that temple. If the people of Israel are humble and sorry about the things they have done wrong, God is totally willing to stop killing them with a disease and famine. And I encourage you to read chapter 7 when you have a chance. And then God warns the nation of Israel in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. God's warning is also to the church this morning. I cannot send revival. I cannot send the blessing upon your life if you don't remove the blockage that is holding from heaven to earth. He can't do it. Here's the problem. We got all the heaven has to offer, and somehow it doesn't get to us because between heaven and earth, there is something that is holding it. Do you believe that meeting this morning? Am I preaching to myself? In this verse, God says, this verse is not simply, it's not for a pimp. It's not for a gangsterism. It's not for a prostitute. It says, if my people. He is talking to you. He is talking to me. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people who had experienced God. And He's talking to the church of God this morning. If my people. We need to understand this. God is speaking to His people. And point number one is I want to share with you the unbroken Christian. The unbroken Christian is humble yourself. If my people who call by my name will humble themselves. Repeat that. Humble themselves. If my people humble themselves, we have so much arrogance. We have so much pride in our churches today. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? Do we have pride in our churches? Church, we need more of the power of God. We need more of the move of the Holy Spirit. The fact is we need Jesus more and more and more every day of our life. What's happening in our churches is we sanitize our music. We neutralize our preaching. Oh, man. We compromise our convictions. Oh, it's okay for me. God forgives. We minimize our services. Oh, Lord, I touched someone's toes this morning. And no wonder it's rare we get to church and God doesn't show up. We water down our preachings. If we humble ourselves. Church, there's a problem. If we don't humble ourselves, God will turn His back from you and me. You say, Pastor, is that right what you're saying? Yeah, I'll show you the scriptures. James 4, 6. But He gives greater grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the, but gives to the humble. God resists the, but gives. You get that? Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, God's chosen ones, talk about you and I, holy in love, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, and gentleness and patience. What true humility is. Now, the question is, how do we humble ourselves? Isn't that weird? How do we humble ourselves? I hear people say, Lord, humble me. Trust me, you don't want God to humble you, my friend. Because if God humbles you, you're going to have a pay a lot of consequences. I can tell you that. Oh, Lord, humble me. No way. That's not what I'm going to do. And then we hear people pray that way. You have to humble yourself so I can exalt you. That's what the Bible tells. You humble yourself and I can exalt you. That's what. Don't you want God to exalt you? Don't you want God to bless you? So you and I humble ourselves so He can exalt you. You have to humble yourself. Church, there is too much of the world in the church. And too little of the church in the world. Because of pride. Because of pride. Lord, help us to remove that pride. Because, Lord, my ultimate thing is I want to see a revival. I want to be in that revival. I don't want to be the one that read that book on Azusa Street. I don't want to be the one in Acts that just hears a story. But I want to be the one who experienced a revival. Don't you want to be the one who experienced that revival? Here it is, church. James 4, 7 and 8. Very simple to humble yourself. How do we become more humble? Therefore what? You submit and then you draw near to Him. The first thing is you got to submit to God. And when you submit to God, you submit under the authority of His Word. And when His Word tells you to humble yourself, you humble yourself. And then you draw near to God. How can you get revival if you don't draw near to God? Submit and draw near to God. First steps of humility is those two things. When you walk in humility, you submit to God. Submit to His Word, and the Word has its final authority in your life. That means if God says, shout unto God with a shout of joy, you... Well, that was pretty weak. When God says, shout unto God unto a shout of joy, you shout to God because you're submitting to the Word of God. When God says, shout, you shout. When God says, you jump, you jump. When God says, you pray, you pray. And that's how you submit to God. Hallelujah to the best, greatest Lamb of God. Do you believe that to me this morning? Do you believe that God will pour out His Spirit once again upon His church? And I believe it. And I'm excited to see the move of God. Because when the Spirit of God moves, lives are transformed and the pride will vanish. The pride will vanish as we humble ourselves before Him. He says, if my people humble yourself. Humble yourself. You know what's happening these days? We lose in every capacity. NFL beats the churches. and I can go on. Sunday night services are finished because it beats our Sunday morning churches. Sports beats the churches because our priorities have shifted. Because we've lost and we forgot, we really, and I'm talking to you about my heart, what's happening is this. This world has shifted us in such a way that put God and last in their priorities. And your God does go up. You know why? Again, because of pride and arrogance. Of those who are there on Sunday morning, God gives us a ingredient here this morning and tells us to remove the block is humble yourself. Maybe that point for some individuals. Some of us might be saying, Pastor, I'm so happy you preached on humility. You spoke about this because there's some prideful people in our church. But be careful, because if you spoke that way, you're very prideful too. There are times I say those words, he's very, oh Lord. But God spoke to me. If we just together as a church of God will humble ourselves, don't you see God will remove that blockage and we pour out the Spirit upon His people. The second thing, unburdened Christian is pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Now, this word prayer. We have intercessory prayer on Saturday nights. Maybe some of us don't want to go on Saturday nights because we have some other activities or families. It's okay. God will forgive us in some area. Okay? But we also have Wednesday night corporate prayer. And if one or two people show up on a Wednesday night corporate prayer, how is God going to pour out His Spirit among His people? How? Do you want revival? You got to seek it. Do you know if you don't pray the way you ought to pray, you're insulting Calvary? Why do I say that? Because when Jesus died on the cross and the earthquake shook and everything, the veil, what? Ripped open. And give us now, there was just for the Holy of Holies, which was for the high priest, but now it gives us this what? This access to go directly to prayer. And we can't even do that. Before there was a veil, they were just hungry to go in. Now the veil is ripped in half, that we can go directly to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have a hard time doing. No wonder why God's not pouring out His Spirit. Because the people of God are putting prayer last on the priority list. This hit me first before I'm sharing this. Church, we don't pray like we used to pray. The ones who are serving the Lord for many years, do we pray the way we used to pray? Let's be honest. Do we pray the way we used to pray? No. Because other things came more priority than prayer. People online, if you're watching on me, and there's some watching online, and I'm watching online, me tell you something, you will never grow if you lie down on that bed with your zip of coffee and you just stay away from the people of God, and you're saying that you're here in church, you will never grow. Because of laziness. Because of laziness, but they want to get off their bed and spend time with the people of God and pray with your sister and pray with your brother and cry with your sister and cry with your brother and believe in the power of God to move in a mighty, precious way. You wonder why our generation is astray. Because we don't take it seriously the way we used to take it before. You don't know why? You know why we don't pray the way we used to pray? Because we don't care the way we used to care. Very simple. Because if we cared, I think we would have been on our knees. And I'm not trying to say that we don't pray here. We, particularly, we all pray every day. I just pray that we all do. But I do believe that corporate prayer is important too. You can tell me, Pastor, I don't have to come on Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday and Saturday. I pray at home. Okay, great. You pray. You're still holy. Praise the Lord. But you're still going against the things of God. Because the Bible does tell us to unite with brothers and sisters. The Bible does tell in time of fellowship. The Bible does say to pray together. And you remember one thing. There was 120 people in that upper room. And when they prayed together, that's when the power of God came down upon the people of God. We have services, we have activities during the week, we have men's, we have women, and we have a hard time to step out of our home and say, I am hungry to see the move of God upon my life. I'm not trying to bash anybody here. Some people work, some people do go to school, but you know who I'm speaking to, even including myself. If my people will humble themselves and pray and then seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And number three is this: unrepented Christian, wicked ways. Pastor, you're telling me there's wicked people in the church? Yes, they are. Evil things in the church? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. In our churches, there are people with addictions. In our churches, there are people that live among each other, not even married. In our churches, they're wrapped around the things of this world. In our churches, there's orgies. In our churches, there's affairs. That's in our churches. If my people, he is talking to you and I today. No, Pastor, can't be. We're all holy. Oh, Lord. Hang out with me just for a week. I assure you, if there's a lot of holiness in some people's lives, if my people will humble and pray and seek my faith and turn from the wicked ways. People in the church are evil and they're wicked. Not all of them. But Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, speak to us daily. Convict us with your Holy Spirit so we won't compromise anything and we will repent of our sins. We don't have revival because they're just as guilty as we're just as guilty as some things in the world. They drink, they steal, they lie, they teach to commit adultery, and the list can go on and on. Oh man, they can even use those four-letter words. I'm not talking about food. But they can use some four-letter words. Oh, Lord. And they walk in pride and hypocrites. Backstabbers. Ooh, I just felt one right now. Church of God, we are a family of God. Man, we have to uplift each other. We have to hold on to each other and pray for each other. Remove that pride. Oh, I'm better than you. I have more stuff than you. With a wink of an eye, God makes you lose everything like this. The only thing, if you still have it, because he's giving you a second chance. Pray. Church, we got to get together and pray and believe it's God. And you, when you pray with a passion, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, God will do it because it's never changed. So remove that blockage, pride. Come on, we need to pray a little bit more and we need to stay away from the wicked things. And when we do those things, it will flow. It will flow. It's like a beaver. If he puts that damp, you put that dynamite, that beaver will take off and the dam will just break and all that blockage will break and the river will flow. It's even with us. Lord, help me. Lord, I want to examine myself daily if I make those mistakes, because Lord, I want to be the one who is experiencing that revival. Not the one, oh, I heard this. No, I want to be there, experiencing it. How can God send revival if there is sin in our lives? When we cherish sin in our hearts, the psalmist says this in Psalm 66, 18. If I had been aware of malice in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If you're living in a constant sin every day of your life, God's not going to listen to you, because you're separating yourself from God. We all sin. But living a life of sin, a sinner and a sin is two different things here. Someone who's living in that life of sinning, God cannot hear, and the only one who's going to hear you, the prayer of confession. That's the one he's going to hear you after. But how can God bless us? How can God pour out His Spirit if there's sin, if there's something blocking this, a revival to come down in our life? God, help us. Speak to us, God, so we will remove and confess of our sins daily, to go to Him and say, Lord, fill me again, once again. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and lift me whole. One more time. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the piercing of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So it is some blockages that we need to remove. Pride. We need to pray. We need to stay away and turn away from the wicked ways. And here's the fourth thing. The unwilling Christian is point number four. You got to be willing to see the revival. You got to be willing to see God move. You got to be willing to see signs and wonders. You got to be willing to see miracles. You got to be willing to see God move in a mighty way. It is our choice, church. Do you want to see revival? Do you want to see revival? Do you want to see revival in our community? Do you want to see revival in our churches? We need to, if my people, you got to make that choice. What is it that you're willing to change for God to make this church the way He wants it to be? The reason why those people are not here, because it's the people that aren't here. You get that with me. The people why the people out here are not here is because the people of us. Because it is our fault too. Because of pride. Because we don't pray. Because we don't stay away from the wicked things. And there is no difference. But once we deal with ourselves, and how do we deal ourselves? You got to spend time in prayer. Brother Ulrich said that. Prayer is the only thing that removes depression. If we have depression and we don't pray, depression is still going to be there. But if we pray, the unwilling Christian. That's what I need to get right in my life and right with God. If I want, I have to determine myself that I want to see revival. And whatever it takes, I got to do, I got to do. If I got to remove on my pride, I'll remove on my pride. If I got to spend more time in prayer, I'll spend more time in prayer. If I got to stay away from some of the evil things, I got to stay away from the evil things so he can pour out his spirit. I want to show you this. I want to do this with you, and I'm not going to do it tonight, but today I just want you. I've seen this done past in the yearly, and it was so encouraging to me. I said, if I would try this to the church, you would be so surprised and shocked. Now, I will take you, go to home. When you go home, you take a blank sheet of paper and you just sign it at the bottom and it says, I commit. I will. Just it's when you sign, it's like you're making that commitment. Is that right? Anywhere. We don't like to sign mortgages because it's a long commitment. But here, you have a commitment. You sign as you're committing. Now, you get into prayer with God and you start thinking, Lord, forgive me for my sins, and you write it down. Lord, thank you for the blessings, and you write it down. Lord, then you start praying and say, Lord, what is it that I have to be worked at? And you will be shocked of what's going to be written on that paper. You commit it after, and then you work on it. Guarantee you, God will tell you things that need to be removed and things that need to be added on that piece of paper. Because once you're in prayer with God, God speaks. But then if you break that contract, it's consequences, huh? How many of us broke contracts? Consequences to pay. When you break that contract with God and you say, God, I'm signing and I'm believing and I'm praying, Lord, I thank you for the blessings. Thank you for my family. But Lord, what is it that I need to be changed or worked on? Examine me, Lord. And I guarantee you who's going to tell you. And you're going to start reading. And by the end of the day, you say, man, there's a lot of things that needs to be worked in my life. That's for sure. Do you want revival? The last thing is this. It says, seek my face. Now, we cannot see the face of God, but we can seek the hand of God. We can seek his presence. What does it mean to seek his face? Continual seeking his presence. How? In 1 Chronicles, he says, now determine in your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. As in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19. If you have the next verse, next slide, you will get it there. Now determined in your mind and heart to the Lord of God. Now if you're determined in your mind and in your heart to seek the Lord of God, God will send the revival. God will send his blessing. God will send this. He poured his Holy Spirit among us. Do you really want that? Do you want revival, church? Is this a Pentecostal church or what? Is this a church who is alive or what? This is a church. God is present. The Holy Spirit is present. And he is waiting to pour out his blessing upon his people once again as he did in the past. But church, people of God, remove those things. Set free. Submit to God. Draw close to him. And he will pour out his spirit among us. Now that's just excitement when I preach. It's not yelling at you, by the way. If it's yelling at you, it's going to go pretty bad. That's pretty good. That's calm. That's excitement. That's passion. That's believing in the power of God. That's believing that God will do something great among us. Church, if I'm going to be in this church here, as God wants us to be the leader of this church here, my desire and my prayer is to see the move of the Holy Spirit. If the people of God is not ready for that, my friends, I can fly a kite. I can go somewhere else, my friend, where the people of God want to see the move of the Holy Spirit, the move of God among his people. But I believe that this church, it's ready to give birth. We're just so close. We are close to that birth, that baby. We're so close, but Church of God, remove that pride. Remove that wickedness out of your life. Whatever that sin that is controlling you day after day, remove it in Jesus' name and believe in the power of God and believe that God will pour out His Spirit among His people. Oh, Lord. Maybe some of you might not even come back after this message. But let me tell you something. Be blessed wherever you go. But I can tell you one thing. If you step out, you're going to miss out a revival. Because this church is ready to see a revival of God. Hallelujah! Here it is, the question. If you seek His face and spend time in the presence of God, then I will hear. Oh, Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal the land. Don't you want healing today? Don't you want spiritual healing in your marriage? Don't you want healing in your homes? Don't you want healings in your life? People of God, seek His face, because it's time for the power of God to come down upon our lives. Hallelujah! I know that's going to happen that day. And I can't wait for that day when people of God are dancing and jumping for joy and they're just worshiping the Lord, and you will see the Spirit of God move in that place. Oh, Lord! Oh, Father. Oh, I miss those old-time Pentecostal preachers. I miss those old-time Christians who used to pray day after day in the churches and believing for revival. Church, you would never get it if we don't pray. Do you want revival? Do you want revival? So our prayer is, Lord, open the floodgates of heaven and pour out Your Spirit among us, O Lord. And He will do it. And He will do it. But remove those blockages. And today we'll have the opportunity to remove those blockages. Whatever it is, if it is pride, if it is the evil things, the evil, and if it's because you're lacking up prayer, if you're not seeking His face on a daily thing, come. It's not a show. If you are serious with God, God will be serious with us. Brother Oliver, could you come forward as we're going to sing that song, Open the Floodgates of Heaven. And the red words is, let it rain. Church of God, let's stand for a moment this morning. I mean, do we want God's revival this morning? More than a visitation. A visitation is good. He visits you, He visits me, He visits for a while and goes away. But I don't want just a visitation from God. I want God. I want to press on. I want to press forward. I want to continue in seeking the face of God. I want to be in that presence daily with Him. Lord, open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Pray for revival means this, church. Means prayer for change. The change has to start within the person itself, the person who's doing the praying. So whatever this morning that the Word of God has touched you with. But I can tell you one thing. If I heard a lot of amens, I heard a lot of shouting this morning, you're confirming that you believe in a revival and you want revival. Are you with me? Now, if you want revival, those seats have to be empty. And the people of God has to come here and worship. And when we pray, just open yourself and surrender your life to God and say, let it rain, God. Come on, church, come up here. If you want a revival this morning, if you want to start a revival in your life, if you want to start a revival in your homes, if you want to start a revival in your churches, now you let it rain. Let the Spirit of God rain among us this morning. Come on, church, remove that pride and come to the altar and believe in the power of God this morning. Oh, hallelujah! Come on, church! Let it rain.
hands before pray.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain.
Oh, pour out your spirit, Lord.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
Hallelujah.
Let it rain.
Hallelujah.
Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let it rain.
Hallelujah.
today. Oh Lord, move. Spend some time in prayer here. Don't move for a moment. Don't move. If we really want revival, there's an altar team here that can pray for you also. If there's something you need to deal with and you want to talk to someone, we have a team here. Just pray with them. They will pray. Just talk to them. They will pray for you. But we're going to sing it again, church. We're going to believe it. We're going to proclaim it. We're going to believe for revival. Again, as you've done in the past, you will do today, Lord. And I want to read the scripture to you. It tells us this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. But the verse 15 comes like this and goes like this. Now. It says, now. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Remove those things. Now God is going to respond because we mean business with Him this morning. So we're going to sing one more time a song this morning. And you don't stop, church. Let the time fade away for a moment. And just take another 5 minutes and worshiping God and believing in a miracle and believing in healing and believing in the anointing of God and believing in the power of God to come upon your life. Come on, Alaric, sing one more song. And we're going to sing it and we're going to believe it and we're going to ask God to move in a mighty way this morning. Amen, church? Do we want that this morning, church?
Open the floodgates.
Come on, church, raise your hands before Him and receive His blessings. Receive His anointing. Receive His power. Receive His Spirit. You'll take it in your life this morning and believe it right now in Jesus' name.